Well, today I'm finishing up the series that I began here a while ago, Overview of the Bible. We started out in Genesis. We're ending today in some scriptures around the book of Revelation, but we kind of took a big snapshot picture of an overview of God's plan. And, you know, the thing that really kind of stands out to me over all of this is I just don't think that we as people really understand how devastating it was when man fell. I mean, what was really lost to us, you know, from the Garden of Eden. When God created the Garden of Eden, his desire was, you know, to have this personal relationship with people, face to face, to talk with us, to walk with us, and you know, for us to be in his holiness and his presence, his glory, and to experience it and just let it be a forever thing. But so much was lost when man fell, when sin entered into the picture. And the whole story of the Bible is all the things that God has done to redeem man back to himself, but then to restore things the way they should be. And so today, the final message is called the restoration of all things. You know, God is not going to quit until everything is restored. And we'll see Eden again, or whatever that looks like. We see in the book of Revelation, eating once again from the tree of life. We lost that in the fall of man. And so Jesus, he died for us. He saved us from our sin. And last week, we remember, we talked about how God's plan was to take that gospel into all the world so people could come into a relationship with him. But ultimately, it's because he wants to spend eternity with us. So let's begin here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born. This is a prophecy about 700 years before Jesus was born, speaking about his birth, that Jesus would come. It says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. He is that. Amen. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, this child is a special child. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we talked about this morning in our worship. The Holy One born. And it says, though, of the increase of his government. So when he came, he started something. And he just began it, but it's also increasing. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. It's going to continually increase and expand. And it's been doing so since the day he was born. And it's continuing even today in 2022. The kingdom of God is continuing to expand into the lives and the hearts of people all around the world. So of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And I love this last statement. It says there, the zeal of the Lord will do this. You think, man, Lord, how are you going to accomplish that? Well, it's called zeal. It's like this jealousy. That word zeal means jealousy. And God is so jealous for this relationship with you and I that he's going to continue to extend his kingdom and fulfill what he desired from the beginning. And it's his zeal that will perform it. That's the work that Messiah is still doing today. So look at Acts chapter 3. And before we do, go to the next slide. I want to just talk about this slide for a minute. Last week we talked about how the prophets all spoke and kind of pointed to Jesus. There's a Messiah coming. And then Jesus obviously fulfilled that. He died on the cross. After the cross, there's this idea that repentance is being proclaimed and forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to all the world, but it's until something. In other words, there's something beyond this, and it's called the times of the restoring of all things. Let's read about it in Acts 3. Matter of fact, why don't you leave that slide up there while I read the scripture, and I think it'll make sense to you. It says here in Acts 3, verse 18, what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Prophets told it, Jesus did it. Repent, therefore, and turn again, so that your sins can be blotted out. And that's what happens when you become a follower of Jesus, is that you enter into what God had planned and prophesied hundreds of years ago, that Christ would come to redeem us, to take back what we lost in the fall, to buy us back and restore something that was lost. He said, he will turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This word refreshing has the meaning at times for revival. It's like there's something that happens. There's a reviving that happens all throughout this time as people are turning to the Lord. I don't know what happened to you when you got saved, but when I got saved, I was refreshed. There was a time of refreshing. There was a renewing. There was a revival of sorts. I was born again. There was a new life given. And all through the history, since Christ came and died and this repentance is being preached, there are these times of refreshing that are coming from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ, the appointed one for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive. So Jesus went to heaven now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And it says, heaven must receive until the time for the restoring of all things. So there's times of refreshing, but there's also this time called the times of restoring of all things. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The times of restoring of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. So the prophets spoke about the coming of Jesus, spoke about the salvation of mankind, but they also spoke about this restoring of all things. And we're still living, we're living kind of like right here, right in this area, where we're still out proclaiming the gospel. We're still reaching out to those, calling people to receive what Jesus has done, so that when the times of restoration of all things are happening, they can participate in that as well. So let's look here now at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. When you experience the time of refreshing, this salvation, this time that you receive something from the Lord, in a way, I mean, one of the things that happens there is you start getting a taste of what heaven's like. You get a taste of it. You don't see it fully, but there's a taste. And I'll tell you what, I don't know. I mean, there have been times I know when we pray or we're in God's presence in worship or we're reading God's word or we have some kind of experience with the Lord and we think, man, could it ever get any better than this? And the answer is yeah, because all you got was a taste. It was just a taste of it. And so he talks about that here. 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. But it says in verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. I mean, there's a glimpse of it. We still see through a glass darkly. We don't see it clearly. We don't see it fully, but there's a taste of it. And it's kind of like one of those things when you taste something, you want more. You know, it's like, man, that was a good milkshake. I'd like to get another one. Or someone was telling me today about some butter cookie donuts down at Dunkin' Donuts. And when you get one of them, it's like you just want another one. But in one way, in one sense, we have never seen and we've never heard, and it's never entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. And it's never entered into any of our hearts what that looks like. Maybe there's a taste of it. But God has revealed something to us by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed in him. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. who is the guarantee of our inheritance. This word guarantee means a down payment. It's like a down payment was made, but there's something coming. It's like when you make a down payment to purchase a house, you know, you lay some money out there, but there's something else coming. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive that salvation, when that message of the gospel goes out, and somebody came and told you about Jesus, that he died for your sins, and he's calling you to turn back to him, and you say, yes, Lord, and this time of refreshing comes, what happens is he puts his Holy Spirit inside of you, and that's like a down payment of something that's coming. It's not everything. It's a taste. It's part. It's a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So there are times of refreshing, but there are times of restoring of all things. Now Romans 8 talks about this too. Look over there if you will. Or it's up on the screen here. Paul says here, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. See, it's future. It's something out there. Don't see it fully. Maybe we have a taste of it. Maybe we have a glimpse of it. We don't really see it fully, but it's a glory to be revealed. And when you begin to get that glimpse, that understanding that there's a glory to be revealed, it really puts the sufferings of this life in perspective. You see what he said there? The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing. So often, you know, especially people who've had difficult lives and they go through many, many struggles, it's like that's all they can see. And it becomes almost like this overbearing pressure upon their life. I'm just in so much trouble, so much discouragement, so much defeat in my life, and it just weighs them down. But somehow, if they could get a glimpse, and I'm not trying to talk about pie in the sky, I'm talking about this reality, that there is a glory to be revealed, that if you can grasp it, it just takes all the suffering of this present world and puts it into a right perspective, and it's not worth even comparing to that. Paul one time calls it a light, momentary affliction. Even if you live with suffering your entire life, it is a light, momentary affliction compared to this glory that's to be revealed. It's called the restoration of all things. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed. And it says here in verse 19 that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Let me tell you at the start, I don't understand what this is fully talking about. All I know is that the whole creation, I'm talking about everything outside of man, the whole creation has been subject to corruption because of our sin. We wonder why the world's falling apart. It's not because there's too many people living here. It's not because we're not, you know, all the things that maybe we're trying to do to save the planet. It's because of sin. The creation is in decay because of our sin. And the Bible tells us here that creation, the actual creation itself, and the word in the Greek language here with this eager longing is like this standing on its tiptoes. All of creation is standing on its tiptoes looking for something. What's it looking for? The glory of the manifested sons and daughters of God. All of creation is looking out here saying, brothers, come on, brothers. We want to be free of this too. We're waiting for you. I remember about a year ago, I saw this beautiful video. And I was watching this. It was a picture of like these mountains and it was ocean waves. It was so beautiful. And I sat there and thought, man, Lord, look how beautiful this world is. And it's like the Lord just It's almost like he just whispered in my heart and said, you have no idea how beautiful the world is. I mean, we look at this world that's corrupted because of our sin, and that looks beautiful to us. Imagine what the world was like before. I mean, we look at a fallen, corrupted, decaying, dying world, and we say, what a beautiful world. What a wonderful world. We sing those songs. What a beautiful, and it is beautiful. We look out there and we stand there in awe. I mean, we go to the ocean or we look at the mountains or sunsets or whatever. And we just like, oh, look how awesome it is. But I'm telling you, it's nothing compared to what it would be like in the restoration of all things. And so even all of creation is here, standing on tiptoes, waiting, longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now again, I'm not going to stand here and pretend like I understand all this, but as I understand it, it's basically saying that all of creation is looking and waiting for this work that God is doing in us to be completed with anticipation. It's almost like creation has been personified here. Now you read things in the Bible about the trees of the field shall clap their hands and the mountains shall shout. Jesus one time said, if you don't sing, the rocks and stones themselves will sing. I don't know if he was just speaking in allegory there or if there's really something to it. I don't know. All I'm saying is that whatever he's going to restore, the restoration of all things, if you think the world is beautiful now, where do you see it? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's never entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. We have a taste of it. Times of refreshing, taste of it here and there. But there's something coming. And it is the completed work of the Messiah. This creation, it says here in verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. He kind of describes it here like a woman giving birth to a child. You know, it's like it's a painful thing, and it's like, ah, man. But when it's done, when that baby comes out, look how beautiful it is. It's like, oh my goodness, all that pain, all that suffering, all that hardship. But it created such a beautiful thing. And that's kind of how he's describing this. It's like this giving birth. The whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that down payment, that guarantee, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, which is what he calls the redemption of our bodies. In other words, the resurrection. Waiting for the resurrection, the redemption of our bodies. There's a groaning. Hopefully you have this groaning inside. It's like, you ever get this sense that just something isn't right? Just something isn't right. And it's not about COVID-19. There's just something not right about this life. Something not right about the world that we live in. And it is that it's been touched by sin. And it won't be right until Prince of Peace returns. Until the resurrection, the redemption of our bodies, when the sons and daughters of God are glorified, and all of creation then comes into the freedom of the children of God. I don't know what that looks like, but I tell you, it's something that seems exciting to me, especially when I think the world is so beautiful right now. I can't imagine what it might be like when it's all said and done. Second Thessalonians chapter, oh, I'm sorry. Genesis 3 tells us, cursed is the ground because of you. See, that's where the world became corrupted. After sin came, the Lord brought a judgment upon Adam, upon the serpent, upon mankind, and upon the earth. Cursed is the ground because of you. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. That's why our world is corrupted. It's why it's decaying. It's why it's in this place called futility. It's because of the fall of man. But also us. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. And when God created us, when he created the world, there was it had the glory of God. There was the imprint of God's glory upon this entire creation. Everything he made was good. And even upon man, created in God's image. And then when that sin entered, something happened. We fell short of the glory. Something was lost in that day. Not only with us, but within the whole creation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. And to this he called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I read this and I'm thinking, what in the world is God calling us to? What do you see up there? What's God calling us to? Well, he called us to be saved, right? And what does he say? How does that happen? How? Through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. So somebody came and shared the gospel, shared the truth. You believed it. The Holy Spirit came alongside, began to sanctify you, change you, set you apart, begin to work in your life. But he says it's for a purpose. To obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 verse 30 it says, those whom he predestined he called, those whom he called he justified, and those he justified he glorified. So there's this glory. You know, again, I don't know what that even looks like. Are we going to walk around shiny? I don't know if it's shiny. All I know is it's the glory of God. It's the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We fell short of the glory of God because of sin, but in the restoration of all things, that glory will be restored again. And again, I don't know. It's exciting to me, and I don't even know what it is. It's almost like Christmas, you know. It's like, I know I'm going to get a present. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited about it. You know, can't go to sleep at night. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are now God's children. Right now, you're God's children, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Right now, we see through the glass darkly, but when he appears, we'll be like him. There's that glory of the Lord Jesus somehow is going to be on us or with us or whatever. He's changing us to become more like him. Not God's, but he changes our attitudes, our desires, our wisdom. Just so many things in our life. He calls us, he justifies us, he sanctifies us, and it says he glorifies us. And that's what creation is standing on his tiptoes looking for. It's like, say, come on. It's almost like you can see the creation is just cheering us on. Come on, brothers, be sanctified. Let the work of God happen in your life. Let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Let him have his way in your life. Isn't that stuff neat? I'm going to finish up here in the book of Revelation and just show you a few scriptures about the restorative work of Jesus, the Messiah. Revelation 7:9, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb. What are you going to see in heaven? What are you going to see at the restoration of all things? You're going to see somebody from every nation. Does this remind you of a covenant God made? We talked about it a long time ago. It was a covenant to Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham that through you, through your seed, all nations of the world will be blessed. And in the end, somebody from every nation will stand there before the Lamb, and the Messiah will be able to say, I have fulfilled my promise to Abraham. And we'll look, and we'll be there. You'll be there, and you'll look around. You'll see people from every nation, every tongue, every language, standing before the Lamb. Why the Lamb? Because it shows forever that Jesus was our sacrifice Lamb, and it's only through him that we could even be here. And we'll be there, and we'll look among all these people, and we'll remember how faithful he is to his covenant. That he was able to take people from every language, every nation around the world, people who've never heard about Jesus, and somehow bring somebody to them who could tell them the story, and they could be saved. They could hear about the cross. They could hear about the proclamation of the gospel and enter into the times of refreshing and ultimately the times of restoration of all things. What else? The seventh angel, in Revelation 11, 15, the seventh angel blew his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Amen? What do you think, what covenant is he fulfilling here? The promise to David that he will have a king sitting on the throne forever. And we see Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord, of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Political answers are not for us. It is the kingdom of God is the answer. That is the restoration of all things. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise, my servants would fight. It's a different kingdom that we serve. It is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, in the restoration of all things, every kingdom of this world will be his. He'll reign over all. Revelation 12:10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. How many people are going to say amen on that day? I mean, he stepped on his head on the cross, but there's a day coming when he's going to be thrown down and gone for good in the lake of fire forever. He stands before our God day and night to accuse us today. He's like a roaring lion looking around, seeing who he can devour. And yes, Jesus dealt a death blow to him on the cross, but there's a day coming when he's going to take him and throw him down forever, no longer to deceive or to hinder us as we stand with our Lord forever. This is the work of Messiah. It's the restoration of all things. Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. Now for you who love the ocean, I'm telling you, it's going to be better. You might say, I can't believe that. But that's kind of what I'm taking from this. It's going to be better. And we love the ocean. We love the ocean. But it's better. There's no more sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So there's a new heaven, new earth. Revelation 21, verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. What is this? It's the restoration of Eden. It is God himself with man again. Jesus came as a man. God himself with us, Emmanuel, God with us. But he was here in a limited geography with a limited number of people for a limited time, and he went to heaven. But there's a day coming in the restoration of all things when he will be with all of us forever. You'll see him face to face. You'll walk with him. I mean, God himself will be with you, it says. Now, you might say, well, he's already with me. And I agree. He's everywhere. But that's just a taste. That's only a taste of it. It's like getting that little letter from your girlfriend that has some perfume on it. And you say, oh, my goodness, what a beautiful thing. But that's nothing like being with her. It's nothing like it. And so we have this taste of God's presence, sometimes in our worship, sometimes in our prayer. Sometimes we just experience God's presence in different ways, on the earth even. You know, the Lord gives us a little taste, but it's nothing like being there with him forever, face to face. You know what I mean? I mean, just walking up there and hugging the Lord. I mean, I don't know about you. That's going to be a great day. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense, my reward with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to eat to the tree of life. I'm going to eat from that tree. You know that? You guys, one day, you're going to be able to go eat from the tree of life. It was in the Garden of Eden, and we lost access to it because of sin. But the Lord's kept it still there. He chased Adam and Eve out, protected it. But it's still there. It's still somewhere. And one day, you'll have the right to eat of the tree of life. They may enter the city by the gates. I would like you to stand with me.